Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Thomas Manton, a practical exposition upon the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And we're still currently in verse 6, which says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all." And last time we did doctrine number 2, that there are many several ways of sinning. And thus, though there be one path to heaven, yet there are several ways of sinning and going to hell. And we left off at Doctrine 3 last time. And Lord willing, we're going to continue on with that in this reading. And I'll go ahead and start that now. I come now to the last point of the first part of the text, and that is drawn from that possessive article whereby every man's bypath is expressed, every man to his way. Doctrine number 3, that this is the sin of men in their natural condition, that they turn to their own way. The phrase implies these two things. First, a defect or want or lack of divine guidance. And secondly, a rejection of the ways of God when made known to us. We do not like them so well as some other, when we fancy to be better to us because more suitable to our carnal desires. And therefore, it is often charged upon the people of Israel, especially by Jeremiah, that they would not regard the ways of God, but the way of their own imaginations. See Jeremiah 7:24. God had told them that all that he required of them was this: obey my voice and walk in the way that I have commanded you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So that you see, it argues a refusal of God's ways when discovered to them as not being for their terms, or something that they like, or will do. So Jeremiah 9:13-14, because they have forsaken my law which I have set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their heart and after Balaam. They think their own path better, safer, and more comfortable, and therefore would not meddle with God's path or way. So Jeremiah 11:8, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. This refusal is the more sottishly perverse, as in Jeremiah 44:17, but will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth out of our mouth. So that here is a scorning to have their ways prescribed out of a presumption that they can better provide for themselves. The drunkard, the adulterer, thinks God's ways are either insipid or injurious. Our first parents thought their conceit or conception of things was better, and that God, in envy, had denied it to them, and therefore they did not weigh God's restraint and prohibition, Jeremiah 3:17. She would eat, the devil had fastened her fancy to it, and she went on with the temptation. And point number 1, there is a defect or want or lack of divine guidance. God leaves men to their own sway and takes away all check and restraint from them, and then whatever a man does is purely from himself. So it is said, Psalm 81:12, I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. When all divine guidance or direction is taken away, you will be left to the impure dictates of a corrupt mind, or at best to some poor remains of civility. As it is said in Genesis 20, verse 6, I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered thee not to touch her. Some restraints and chains God casts upon men, that they are not able to do the evil which naturally they would. Though they do not go God's way, they cannot go their own, in this case. But when God pleases, he lets men alone, and then they do what is right in their own eyes, as you shall see in Acts 14:16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, that is, to live according to their own pleasure, prescribing no restraint to them by discovering himself in a law, or to those that have the outward written word by using no inward motions of his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. So that this is the first thing, the privative part, a defect of divine guidance, either by such outward prescriptions as may revive natural life, or such inward motions as may restore it. Point number two, that which is positive or more formally imported is a following of the dictates of our own corrupt minds and fulfilling the desires of our own corrupt wills. For I conceive this turning to our own way is expressed by the apostle upon the same occasion in Ephesians 2 verse 3, for he says there that natural men have their conversations, which are behaviors of life, in the lusts of the flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Again, lusts are usually more generally any corrupt desire of the heart, although it can include the more sexual side. There is a natural inclination to obey his corrupt mind and to satisfy his corrupt will. It is but a pleasing of themselves. It is the way they have devised and the way they have desired. But to speak of these things a little severally, point number one under that, there is a following the dictates of a corrupt mind. This is the first and chiefest, and therefore it is often expressed according to their imaginations and their counsels. There are a great many prejudices in a natural understanding against the ways of God. It is a way of their own contriving. Men think their way is good. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Their blind hearts dictate to them that their own way is the best, safest, most pleasant, and comfortable. The mind chooses, pauses, and determines upon what it conceives to be better for it than the rule of obedience. Therefore, it is called our own way, because it is not of God's appointment, but our own choice. Men consult with their own hearts and think sin is better. You may go through all the commandments of God, and you shall see a natural understanding dictates otherwise than God says. As to the first table of the Ten Commandments, man has some confused knowledge that there is a God who is to be worshipped, to be spoken of with reverence and observance, that there is some time to be set apart for his worship. Now, what this God is, what is his worship, what time is to be set apart for it, and how it is to be spent, there reason fails. We have some ways that seem right to us for that, and we are guided either by our own reason or prescript of time or education or example or custom. It is our own ways that we turn to, and therefore do not give God the glory that is due to his name. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They do not glorify him as God. We paint out worship by our own lazy thoughts, or overdo it by some fancies of our own. This is our own way. Then, as to the second table of the Ten Commandments, there natural light is most clear. There we have some sparks and knowledge left of good and evil, and yet even there our carnal understanding easily leads us into a way that we think better to us than that which God has set us. And so we think liberty is better than obedience to superiors, revenge is sweet, and injury is looked upon as profitable, and mere adultery as pleasant, some thinking nature never planted such strong desires in a man but to have them satisfied. And as to theft and oppression, why should a man be scrupulous and stand upon conscience when he sees a present benefit? So calumny and reproach of others pleases us and serves our ends or purposes by making them odious to others whom we ourselves hate. Thus, by a little use, all knowledge of good and evil is blotted out of the mind, and a thing seems right to us, though condemned by God. Number two, there is a fulfilling of the desires of our corrupt wills. Men go the way of their own affections, and though it be not according to the law of God, it is according to their desires, lust, again, any corrupt desire of their heart, being their law, as if it were warrant enough to do a thing because they desire it. The apostle said in Titus 3, verse 3, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, that is, their mind was to obey their vile affections. They think the desire was planted in them that they might satisfy it, and they are not bound to thwart it. It were a wrong to their natures, whose bent and force they follow. It is said of Eve in Genesis 3, 6, that when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Men think there is no harm as long as they do but please appetite and only meddle with what tempts the desire. But, brethren, do not deceive yourselves. The mere fulfilling of natural desires without thwarting is a walking in your own ways. For even so you may wander beyond those bounds by which the word has hedged up your way, be it of pleasures or honor or profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. One of the first lessons in Christ's school is self-denial. You must reckon upon it to go against your desires, and indeed it is a hard lesson. The way of natural men is their own way. They do not love to be restrained in their desires, and therefore they have ventured upon sin, notwithstanding great restraints, yea, the more for restraints. Men fancy some exceeding goodness in forbidden fruit, and think the prohibition cruel and envious, and therefore will venture and try their own way, as being loath to lose their longing and to disappoint nature. See that place in Romans 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That is, when in our natural condition, the restraints of the law revived sin, and we let it work, though it were to our destruction. Men's voluptuous hearts will not let them enter upon such a strict course as the law prescribes. Well, now, gather all together, and you may see what it is to turn to our own way. It is to be left to ourselves, and then to reject the ways of God, upon a supposition that we have found something that is better for us because it is more pleasing to our fancies and more suitable to our desires. Now, the reasons may be referred to two heads. Our own way can never be right, either, number one, to please God, or number two, to do ourselves good. So our own way can never please God or even do ourselves good. Number one, not to please God. This appears in that, number one, God will not stand to our appointment. Nothing pleases him but what he has required. All other things he looks upon as mere invention or imagination. Though man should be very zealous in his own way, with never so doubt an intention, it is not acceptable. There is naturally implanted in the creature some desire to please God. Now, you will never do it in your duties or in your lives if your carriage be not suitable to his rule. Micah 6, verses 7 and 8. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now, here is a very liberal proposal. But what does the prophet rejoin upon this? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There is the trial what God has required of us. He will not stand to the creature's courtesy. It is his prerogative to appoint what pleases him best. God has been angry with things, though done with a good intention, if not according to what he has showed. Uzzah's breach sets this forth, 2 Samuel 6:7. God smote him for his error. It is said there, for doing besides the rule. So you may see in a case that concerns conversation as well as worship, conversation generally being behavior of life, Romans 10:2, it is said of the Jews that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They were very furious in it. They had good intentions, but they did not understand God's way. A man may seem to have much zeal and much scrupulous tenderness of doing good and avoiding evil, but it is such as is in his own fancy and apprehension, but not in God's law. He hates it. The false teachers had some seemingly strict ordinances, Colossians 2:21 and 22, touch not, taste not, handle not, but they were the doctrines and commandments of men. And thus you see, God will not like our way, though it should be never so strict and accommodated with the advantage of many devout and pure intentions. A popish spirit may be very devout, but God regards it not, because it is not according to his appointment. A good intention cannot make the action good, but the conformity of it to the rule, that's what makes it good. Otherwise, those that slew the apostles and crucified Christ pleased him. Many of them did it with a devout heart to that way which seemed right to them, and they thought was pleasing to God. John 16:2, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. They think this is well and will please God. Usually that has been the lot of the saints hitherto, to suffer under such rage as has been rashly and unadvisedly conceived for God's sake. Therefore, I say, God does not look to the intention of a thing, but to the conformity of it to the rule and to his appointment that he likes. Otherwise, that which is odious to him would seem right in our eyes. Number two, suppose God should commit it to ourselves, yet we should never do that which would please him. If God had left us no direction but the light of our own reason, we would never reach the right way, but there would be diverse hindrances, as, first, ignorance. Natural men know not which way to go about it. They are described, Romans 1:21, to be such as became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. A frivolous mind every man has. The word, he says the Greek word, they are vain in their discourses and reasonings. They have very unsavory apprehensions of the ways of God. It is spoken of the heathen there, and the like you shall see of the Jews and of natural men within the church. Jeremiah 4:22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Men of parts, or I believe abilities, are sometimes extremely ignorant in the point of duty towards God and man, and therefore certainly their own path must needs be a wrong way, even though they have many natural abilities. Brethren, it signifies not what men in a notional way can discourse or argue concerning duty, for their foolish darkness will be discovered when it comes to practice. Secondly, their antipathy against anything that concerns the ways of God. Our way must needs be seen, for our heart is exceeding averse to the will of God by nature. Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Mark, it is not only an enemy, but enmity. There is the spirit of malice in it against all the ways of God. Therefore, God's appointments and carnal desires will never be brought together. If you be wise to the flesh, you cannot be wise to duty. A carnal wise heart must needs error in its choice, then. There is a disallowing of all that is good and and an approving of all that is not or nothing. This is most suitable to us. See Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The prophet uses diverse expressions to set out that wicked disvaluing of God, of the ways of God, that is in all carnal hearts. They think all the comfort and sweetness is in their own ways of jollity and excess, and for God's ways they look upon them as bitter and dark, such as will banish mirth and eat out all contentment, and fill the heart with sad fears and darkness. Oh, how are these men mistaken? Thirdly, we have a base, paltry heart and are loath to serve him as far as we know. It is said, Romans 1:28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They do not approve or make such precious account of the ways of God as they should do. Carnal men are loath to go contrary to their desires. They like the knowledge that they have and are better content with ignorance, as it is said in 2 Peter 3:5. The Apostle Peter said, they are willingly ignorant of what might make against them. This they are angry at, that they know so much and are willing to practice so little. And therefore, what is chosen and followed with full consent by such hearts must needs be a wrong way. You may well suspect whatever nature devises so willingly and practices so cheerfully. And this is the first reason our own way is not the right way, because we can never please God in it. Number two, our own way is not the right way to do good to ourselves. The more we please the flesh, the more we wrong our own souls. Passions and corrupt affections do but blind the heart to its own destruction. As the fishes that play down the pleasant streams of Jordan devolve themselves into the Dead Sea, so ways that are altogether suitable to our nature do but end in destruction. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Mark, it is the plural, ways. It is a multiplex, or it is multiplex. A man ruins himself many ways by one sin or another. Some their way is adultery, that wastes the strength and blasts the beauty, brings infamy, poverty, reproach, horror of conscience, death, and eternal destruction. Another, drunkenness, which besots the brain, wastes the estate, betrays a man to reproach, bronzes the heart in a brawny way, and brings death and destruction. I will not stand longer upon the reasons, but apply it. Use number one is caution to you not to go in your own ways, neither in worship nor conversation. Again, conversation being behavior of life, that is the sin of men in their natural condition. Now that you may not do so, number one, I shall give you some cautionary propositions. Number two, a few directions. The cautionary propositions I shall spread before you for the greater quickening and incitement of you. Number one, God may not like what men like. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. A man that does not weigh his service in the balance of the sanctuary is not sensible of the defects of it. God weighs and can look beneath the veil of pretenses, so Luke 16:15, for that which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination in the sight of God. You may please yourselves in your ways, and yet you may very much displease God. The rule holds in duties. You may pass it off as it were a seemly beast for an offering, whereas God looks upon it as a poor, sick sacrifice, a corrupt thing, Malachi 1:14. This rule likewise holds good in conversation, again, behavior of life. Men please themselves in an easy moral way, but God can find a great deal of evil in it. We look upon sins as they are odious abroad, but God considers inward guilt. Now, when men live in an easy, voluptuous, sensual way, or just to please the senses, they do not check themselves for it because others do not, but God may hate them for it. Number two, nay, the more your way pleases you, the more you should suspect it does not please God. Whence comes all this vigilance, or from where? Either the thing is carnal, or if it be spiritual, you are set on by the concernments of the flesh. Certainly your carnal heart is set on by something that is suitable. David did not dare touch the waters of Bethlehem because he longed for them. 2 Samuel 23:15 and 16, oh, that one would give me of the water of Bethlehem. He would not drink of it because they went in jeopardy of their lives that fetched it, but poured it out before the Lord. I say, in doubtful things, when you are so vehement, suspect your heart. And the more your life pleases you, fear it is the less acceptable to God. Consider not what you are willing to do, but what God allows. Nature would not be so strongly bent upon a thing if there were not corruption in it. These are the two quickening propositions. The rules or directions are three. Number one, lead your life by a divine rule. Have respect to the commandment. See how heartily David prayed in Psalm 119:10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, let me not wander from thy commandments. That is the rule, the law a man should go by. Advise with the word. Bind it continually about thine heart and tie it about thy neck. The commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Proverbs 6:21-23. He would not deviate into his own path. Galatians 6:16. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. They that walk by this rule, that is, according to the word of God. The law is the expression of God's will to us creatures, therefore conform to that. If Christians had more often recourse to the rule and looked to it more often, they would have a better sight of duty. Number two, beg divine assistance. We cannot keep to God's rule without God's power. Beg it of God, then, as David in the psalm before mentioned. There are diverse places hint this in Scripture. It is a sign we run beyond ourselves when we would not be directed by God. When God leaves us to ourselves, then we leave his law. Acts 14:16. In times past, God suffered the Gentiles to walk in their own ways. A man left to himself cannot but error. And therefore, desire God that he would guide you. For a blind mind and a wicked heart cannot guide you in his ways. This is called a taking heed to the word, Psalm 119:9, and then verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. And David prayed in verse 133, order my steps in thy word. God must order every step, or else we shall soon go astray. Number three, look up to divine encouragement. As you must take the word for your rule and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, for your guide, so the promises for your encouragement. 2 Samuel 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, our own spirits, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In 2 Peter 1, 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Worldly wisdom is seen otherwhere. Romans 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Christians should fetch in a supply that way. It is a sign you are in God's way when you eye God's encouragements. Some mind only to compass their carnal ends or purposes and sweeten all their endeavors by fleshly considerations. They are in their own way. To be carnally minded is death. To savor only fleshly encouragements argues a very naughty heart. And use number two is examination to try whether you be in the state of nature or not. Your own way is a sinful way. And therefore, what is the generality of your conversations or your behaviors? How do you act? Is it not a turning to your own way? But, you will say, how shall I know that? Number one, by the suitableness of it to nature. A life led in pleasures without self-denial and mortification certainly is none of God's way. It is a way of your own choosing. 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Though she lives a natural life, she dies a spiritual death. This is even just as nature would have it. Observe what compliance it has with your carnal desires and delights. Number two, by the easiness of it to nature, it is your own way, for you can walk in it by your own strength. It is often said of such as were in a natural state, he did that which was right in his own eyes. You have shaped out to yourselves such an easy course, but what difficulty is it to be such a Christian? Solomon said, lean not to thine own understanding, Proverbs 3, verse 5, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That is necessary to true Christianity. But now here, men keep up themselves well enough, though no intercourse be between them. Number three, the serviceableness of it to nature and to natural ends and courses. Every man naturally is for himself to attain honor, pleasure, profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, or satisfaction to his lusts or any corrupt desires in his hearts. Our own way will serve for our own end. Though many things that man may do be of a divine appointment, yet it is but your own way still. You borrow means of God to further your own purposes. The glory of God is the great Christian end or purpose, but men value themselves by other things. And then use number three is exhortation, to press men in their natural condition to turn from their sottishness and foolish ways by repentance. Now, repentance first begins with turning from our own ways, as the prophet Jeremiah calls it in Jeremiah 26:13. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. To this end, a few things must be spoken to. There are two things that make this exhortation fruitless. Number one, carnal prejudices. Do not believe what your own hearts suggest to you concerning the folly and uncomfortableness of God's ways, for these prove the best and most comfortable to the soul. Other pleasures are but for a season, Hebrews 11:25. Natural reason calls sour sweet. The best way to know is to try them once, and then you will see how all was delusive. Mistakes and prejudices will vanish then. And number two, despairing stubbornness. Men have been in an ill way, and they are loath to quit it or to stop it. They think now they must try the worst of it, Jeremiah 18:12. And they said there is no hope, but we will walk after our devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Now he says he will not tarry too long on these black lines and dark shadows of man's error or sin and misery. So therefore, he wants to go on to God's remedy, which is the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. But that's going on to the next part of the verse. And so we're going to go ahead and stop there this time, and then, Lord willing, go on to that the next time. But until then, go seeking the ways of God in His Word, asking for repentance from our own ways, and may we seek Him in His own ways and to be obedient to His ways through only the power of His Spirit. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.